I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm gonna stick to his butt like white on rice.
That's right.
That's right. The greatest of all time. And they're all gonna die.
Hello, folks. Welcome to episode 81 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. That, of course, was the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, who over the weekend passed away at the age of 74. And I'm opening with Muhammad Ali for a number of reasons. One, he had a huge impact on pop culture in general, but also the world of sports and, of course, sports entertainment, professional wrestling. Going back and looking at some of the things that he has done in his career outside of the boxing ring and in a wrestling ring, there were some moments that I hadn't realized even happened that he had been a part of. In 1976, it was Muhammad Ali against Antonio Inoki in Tokyo in a boxer versus wrestler contest. And right prior to that, as they were building up to that, Ali had gotten into the ring with Gorilla Monsoon, and Monsoon, basically scooped him up, did an airplane spin, and then dropped him in the ring. And then, of course, probably the most famous Ali moment in wrestling was was at WrestleMania, the original WrestleMania. He was one of the referees in the main event outside the ring and actually took a swing at Rowdy Piper during that matchup. But of course, that first WrestleMania was star-studded in the celebrities that were involved, Liberace and Billy Martin and Cyndi Lauper, of course, and then Muhammad Ali. So, the one that I did not know about was shortly after WrestleMania, he was at the Superdome for Mid-South Championship Wrestling or Mid-South Wrestling and got involved in an angle with the Snowman versus Jake the Snake Roberts. The Snowman was the TV champion at the time. I think this was probably right before Mid-South really blew up in my area of growing up in St. Louis. By the time Mid-South really became a thing, it had already kind of changed over to the UWF. So I don't remember this at all, but Muhammad Ali did land a couple of punches on Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake was a heel at the time, as well as the Barbarian. They were kind of in cahoots with each other. And the Snowman ended up retaining the Mid-South Television Championship. So WWE.com actually has these moments on video on their website right now. They have a nice little tribute. And that's kind of also what I want to talk about is my opinion is WWE missed the boat with Muhammad Ali, putting him in the Hall of Fame years ago. And I don't know if there was an issue with Ali not wanting to go in the Hall of Fame or I don't know what the deal is. But just looking at it as a fan, I'm going to comment as a fan and probably be a little critical. But I feel like Ali should have been probably the first celebrity inductee into the Hall of Fame for a number of reasons. And I'm not discounting Pete Rose and I'm not discounting Refrigerator Perry. You know, they had their parts in WrestleMania, but I feel like Ali kind of transcended and was across the board with WWE for many, many years before they went global. You know, like I said, he did the whole thing in 76 with Gorilla Monsoon. Classy Freddie Blassie was a part of that. And then the match with Antonio Inoki. Then, of course, the WrestleMania moment. And then I believe he even went into WCW and had done something after Hulk Hogan. I may be misremembering that, but I felt like he was a part of something else in WCW as well. So I really feel like, when it comes to Ali is also, a legitimate athlete. And I feel like sometimes I guess I'm complaining here, and I really don't want to complain, but I feel like, you know, a posthumous induction now for a celebrity, it's never been done. I'm not saying it shouldn't or couldn't be done, but I think that WWE tends to put celebrities in for that extra attraction of getting to see a celebrity that you wouldn't typically see at a WrestleMania or a Hall of Fame weekend event. You know, and I could sit here and talk about who shouldn't be in the celebrity wing, and I'm not opposed to the celebrity wing. I think it's got its purpose and whatnot. But when you have a celebrity the stature of Muhammad Ali, he should have been one of the first, if not the first, inductee once they started doing the celebrity wing back in 2004. So I think in 2005, when they did Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper and Sheik and Volkoff, they didn't do a celebrity induction that year, and Jimmy Hart as well. They didn't do a celebrity that year. That would have been, in my opinion, the perfect time to do that one, to do Ali as a celebrity inductee. But again, missed opportunity as far as I'm concerned. And hopefully, you know, they will pay tribute to Muhammad Ali on Raw. So I'm going to stop harping on it now and move on to other things. This is episode 81 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. And in it, you will hear an interview from a friend of mine, Shane Rich, who is a local independent wrestler, has been for a number of years now, started back in 1999. We get into his career and what he has done and what he is doing now, which is launching a new promotion in Southern Illinois, Warriors Code Wrestling. The first show is actually kicking off this Saturday, June 11th, in Christopher, Illinois, and I'll have all the information over on thejitterymonkey.com, as well as my 1-2-3 cents pages, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff as well. You can check it out. But we get into some in-depth discussions about what he has done with All American Pro Wrestling, which is where I met him, and you know what he is hoping to do with this new wrestling company and how you can be involved with this as a wrestling fan as well. So I encourage you to stick around and listen to that. Also, check out my123cents.com. I am on a self-imposed blogging streak. I think I'm up to day 10 or 12 now. So blogging about wrestling, but I'm also throwing in some other fun things because it's not just about wrestling over at my123cents.com. So check that out, share it if you don't mind. And also, when you have a minute, head over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. And I have thick skin. Say what you want. It's not going to hurt my feelings, I promise. Or you can comment, leave comments over at jitterymonkey.com /my123cents. And also, while you're there, check out the other podcast with Nerds United and give them some love as well. My buddy Greg Mahochko does a great job with his show as well. So, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the podcast. You know, we just recently had Cowboy Bob Orton working on some other guests here down the road. A big wrestling event is coming to Marion, Illinois at the Rent One Park. Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling is coming to town, and I am in talks with getting someone involved with that on the podcast. So stick around, stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great summer, folks. So enjoy now the interview with Shane Rich.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! All right.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, my guest today is Shane Rich, and he is here to talk more about, well, his career in the world of professional wrestling, but he's also going to chat about Warriors Code Wrestling here in Southern Illinois. It's happening, the debut show happening on Saturday, June 11th, so this Saturday, actually. And Shane, number one, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us here on My 123 Cents.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit and kind of tell a little bit of a backstory, and then we'll get into everything that's going on with Warriors Code Wrestling. My first memories of you, I saw you as a fan here in Southern Illinois, first and foremost, at All-American Pro Wrestling events. And then in 2011, when we got the deal to be on TV, and I was brought in to do commentary, and I remember we met several times, and the moment that stands out to me is though when you actually ended up getting injured and joined us on commentary for a bit, and probably the biggest night we had for All-American Pro Wrestling back in January of 2012, you and I and Chris Hagstrom on the commentary table, and getting to call the Pac Generico match, which of course we now know where those two have ended up being with WWE and Neville and Sami Zayn. What an insane night that was, and what were your thoughts kind of going into that event and everything kind of culminating that night, especially that particular match?
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a great match that they had. You know, it was an exciting night for all of us. I mean, I was so excited about, you know, getting to be on commentary with you guys. For one, you know, with all you guys' background and what you've done with the news and Chris Hagstrom over at SIU. So it was kind of, hey, you know, this is my chance to work with some guys who are really on top of their game, calling the action and getting their voice across and being the voice of AAPW. So being that you said I was hurt in a motorcycle accident that kept me from participating, but, you know, knowing that I was going to get to be there with you guys, I mean, I went and ran me a full-out tuxedo. I mean, I really thought I was Michael Buffer that night.
Yeah, you were definitely the best-dressed guy of the night, that is for sure. And I love the fact that you were still a part of AAPW despite the accident and despite the injury, and I'm glad that you are back in the ring. Talk a little bit about your background. I know that you were the AAPW heavyweight champion, of course. How did you get involved in wrestling in the first place?
Getting involved in wrestling in the first place, it was just something that I'd always wanted to do when I was a young kid. I had some uncles who were kind of the preteens, and you know, their bodies were developing, and they watched it. You know, my stepdad, you know, he was real big into watching wrestling. So every, you know, this was before Monday Night Raw came on. So I used to, whenever I was a kid, wrestling would come on probably about 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. So I used to have to argue with my dad because I was trying to watch cartoons. You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was on whenever he wanted to change the channel to wrestling. And once wrestling went off, I mean, my stepdad had grabbed me and he would throw me in just about every submission hold or whatever it was that he saw on TV. And so it was like, all right, I'm going to have to start exercising. I'm going to start learning some of these moves so I can compete with him. And then my uncles would come over. And, you know, I had one uncle, Kevin Rich, who, man, he was, I mean, this dude, if anybody in my family should have been a pro wrestler, it should have been him. I mean, this guy was charismatic. He was good looking, you know, I mean, had abs and just built, you know, the likes that I could probably never attain. But so when they would come over on the weekends, it was the same thing. You know, we'd all watch wrestling. And once it went off, man, I mean, we were in the living room beating the snot out of each other. We were beating the snot out of each other in the kitchens. I mean, my parents used to get on to us because Lisa had so many holes in the wall from them being much bigger than me. So about my only defense would be to hit a football tackle and slam one into the door. And of course, the door handle would go through the wall.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was how it started. I actually started lifting weights probably when I was in kindergarten, right around that time. That's how old I was, because my uncles were so much older than me. But we all rode the school bus together. So, and that's where I get into that charismatic side of my Uncle Kevin, because, man, I used to, just the way he would talk with people and joke and goof off and flirt with girls on the bus. I mean, it was just entertaining to sit back and watch him be this character. I mean, it was great. So, once we would get off the school bus, you know, I'd stick around and hang out with them, and we'd lift weights and listen to all the 80s hair metal you could stand, and, you know, that was what that was what my childhood was. And so getting into actual pro wrestling, it was right around 1999. Steven Davis and a couple other guys had an organization going, and they did a show at the I think it's the Knights of Columbus there in Marion, where they do the 4th of July every year.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Knights of Columbus. Yep. So I went and watched them, and after they got done, they were like, "Hey, if you're interested in becoming a wrestler and want to train, come talk to us after the show." Did that. Went to the first training session that they had, which was really not much of a formatted training session. It was a guy who had watched TV and happened to buy a ring and was giving us all concussions and everything else.
Wow.
He's a big, heavy, out-of-shape guy named, they called him Jay Domino. I don't know what his real name was, but he was like a volunteer fireman.
Wow.
And being the smallest guy that I was and being as out-of-shape and weak as he was, of course, I was taking all the slams and everything as the crash test dummy, if you want to call it that. So, being that, you know, the cream rises to the top, you know, he was thrown out of the picture, and Steven Davis kind of took over from there. And me and him used to meet up 4 or 5 times a week and go over spots and go over just calling a match and really getting the basics down. And that went on for probably a good year and a half before I actually got into a wrestling ring and had an actual professional wrestling match in front of people. So, needless to say, I paid my dues before I ever was thrown into a wrestling ring.
Wow, that is awesome. So, who did you watch? Who did you look up to? You know, who did you see in the ring and think, I want to do this. This is something that I want to make the commitment, because it is a huge commitment. You know, people have their opinions who maybe don't watch wrestling and kind of have that preconceived notion of things. But obviously you said, you know, you took the bumps and whatnot for well over a year before you actually had your first match. So there's a lot of work and preparation that goes into becoming a professional wrestler.
Right, exactly. Some of the guys that stood out to me, just from a really young age, like I said, my dad was watching it, was, you know, of course, you're always going to have your Hulk Hogan. He was the top guy. Ultimate Warrior was a huge one for me. I mean, how can you not look at that guy and like him? I mean, he was money no matter what he did. So many people tried to say, you know, in the past, I mean, especially with that self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior DVD, that he didn't know what he was doing. This, okay, if he didn't know what he was doing, why was he able to hold up Vince McMahon for so many millions of dollars before he went on, I believe it was on a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam? I know I'm a little off with that, but everybody knows that story.
Sure.
If he didn't know what he was doing, why was he packing the crowd in? The moment you heard his music, why did everybody not just stand up? People jumped to their feet and probably fell over the people in the road in front of them.
Yeah,
because they were so excited.
Yeah, he was so great.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior is a huge influence. Macho Man, you know, another great one. Ricky Steamboat, I love him. Sting, you can't deny Sting. I mean, Sting and the Ultimate Warrior having the background coming up in the business together, and even though they went their own separate ways, you know, they were almost a mirror reflection of each other as far as the intensity, the face paint, the look. I mean, it was a character, you know. So, and again, you know, I said the look, these guys were muscular, they were athletic, you know, they weren't your Bastion Booters, you know, so they stood out. Going into around the time that I started training to be a professional wrestler, like most of us are, I was small. I mean, I was only 16, 17 years old, weightlifting and, you know, ripped as all get out, but I just wasn't a heavy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up to, you know, your Rey Mysterios, your Juventud Guerreras, S.A. Rios, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit. You know, those were the guys that really, once it come time to start hitting the mat and take a beating, that I looked at and said, well, you know, these guys are small and they're doing it consistently. This is what I want to be. These are the types of guys that I want to be like.
So you started in 99 with your training and getting into the ring. And, you know, here we are 16, 17 years later. You are still in great shape and you are still obviously stepping into the ring. So how important is that fitness and nutrition and all that good stuff as far as maintaining and, you know, having some longevity in the wrestling business?
Right. First and foremost, thank you for the compliment. I'm definitely trying to do what I can as I get older. It's huge. I mean, whenever I was younger and I was in my early 20s, you know, in my teens, and you have so much energy. I mean, I can, and And if you ever get Stephen Davis on here to talk and you ask him, but I can tell you how many times a night I would do a springboard plancha or a springboard moonsault or whatever and just keep going, you know. And now that you get older, you get heavier, your athleticism changes. You're very much into conditioning. You're not so much about going in the gym and lifting all the weight that you can, because it's a lot of stress on your joints, you know, your shoulders, your knees, your elbows, your ankles, your lower back. All those are the main focuses on your body that really take a beating. And I think anybody that's been in a pro wrestling ring as long as I have will agree with that. Your neck too, you know. So it really becomes a matter of not trying to lift every weight in the gym as much as I'm going to pick a moderate weight that's going to get me where I need to be and keep me going for endurance training.
Who have you been in there against that has stood out to you or even worked with, whether it's tag team or been in there as an opponent with?
That I've been in the ring that just stood out to me, like, hey, this guy has got it?
Yeah, that and just, you know, were there ever, because I know a lot of times with these independent shows, you know, legends come back and work, or guys that are kind of climbing up, you know, are there as well. So was there anyone that you ever worked with that maybe someone that you looked up to growing up and now, or that you look up to now as somebody who has become a success?
Yeah, somebody that I watched as a young kid was Tracy Smothers that I've been in the ring with. And if you don't know who Tracy Smothers is, you're not a real wrestling fan.
Yeah,
I'll
absolutely.
Give it like that right now. I remember it was Tracy Smothers and not Brad Armstrong. Which Armstrong was it? Help me out here.
Oh, Tracy Smothers and yeah, it was good grief. I can't remember his name. I know exactly
I know
who you're talking about too.
The other day, that's my chicken muscle.
Yeah,
you get where I'm coming from.
Sure, so, absolutely.
You know, and they stood out to me when I was a young kid because, again, we watched WCW or it was NWA then.
Yeah.
And when those guys came out, I mean, they were energetic, man. I mean, Tracy Smothers had his stuff together. He had the long-haired mullet, which was everybody that was an 80s rock star had. he was a big guy. He was tall. I mean, he was charismatic. You couldn't help but notice him. So as I got into pro wrestling, the first time I met Tracy Smothers, I was probably about 21 or 22. And I went to work a show down in Tennessee, and I was expecting I was going to work another indie guy, you know, coming up. And when I got there, it was, well, we're going to put you in the ring with Tracy Smothers, you know. Oh, okay, cool, great, absolutely, I would love that. You know, and then, you know, as a promoter kept throwing around ideas, and I'm down there with Sean Schultz, another good buddy,
oh, yeah.
Great wrestler, by the way. You know, it's okay, well, we're going to put you in the ring with this guy. Cool, bring it on. Absolutely. You know, and well, at the end of the night, it wound up being me and Chase Stevens, the natural Chase Stevens, from, you know, he was in TNA at the time.
Sure.
And still, you know, going from, well, you're going to start out with Tracy Smothers and then wind up working with Chase Stevens at the end of the night, still not a bad deal.
No, not at all. Yeah, I know both those guys, so that's awesome.
Yeah. So as far as the legend goes, somebody from my childhood that I watched, I actually did a couple years later get to get in the ring with Tracy Smothers, and he was great, man. I mean, he, you know, a lot of guys, I think, to be on the safe side, you know, a lot of guys will talk out a match or rehearse a match. Or, you know, Tracy, it wasn't a matter of that at all. It was, you know, he very much trusted you, and you trusted him. Better. Why wouldn't you trust the guy?
Yeah.
Very polite. I mean, one of the most polite guys I've ever met. I couldn't believe the amount of respect that he gives to the guys in the locker room. Quick story, as a matter of fact, I went to work a show over in Evansville, Indiana, that he was at a couple years ago, and him and Chase did a training seminar prior to the show. And, you know, you got your guys there who are young kids and want to be wrestlers, and you got your guys who, you know, they unfortunately, you know, they may be a little older, they don't really have what it takes to be a wrestler. But Tracy, instead of saying, hey, look, man, you know, unfortunately you're limited, you're not gonna be a wrestler, Tracy was like, do you love wrestling? Is this your passion? Is this what you want to do? God, absolutely. He's like, there are so many other things you can do besides having to be in this ring. If you really have a passion for wrestling, you know, there are other avenues you can take, whether it's announcing or out promoting or helping set up the ring or helping set up the venue. Or, you know, I mean, he took this guy's dream and his love, and instead of throwing his face and telling him, hey, this isn't going to happen for you, he gave him other avenues, you know, and made sure that he was able to continue to love wrestling. And that's what really got me. I was like, man, what a great guy, you know? you don't see that a whole lot.
Yeah, the very first time I ever did any ring announcing here in Southern Illinois, it was the first time I'd ever done it. Tracy Smothers was the main event against Billy Gunn. It was an IWA Mid-South show that had come into town. And he, like you said, he was, I didn't get to interact with him much, but like when I was back, you know, when I was back in the locker room area, he was a class act and just one of those guys that everybody kind of gravitated to as well. So, I'm glad to hear that he is still doing well also. So Shane, tell me about Warriors Code Wrestling. I know you guys have a Facebook page now, and your first show is coming up Saturday night, June 11th, in Christopher, Illinois.
Yes, sir. The Warriors Code Wrestling was basically something that I decided to do as a project that will hopefully carry on and continue. That's why I look for is longevity. The name Warriors Code Wrestling, the reason that I chose that is a lot of you guys know I have a history of being in the military. And no matter what goes on with politics or the stuff you see with the elections going on TV today, the bottom line is the people who have their boots on the ground, whether they're at home or they're overseas, are doing great things for this country and doing great things for the people. The amount of humanity that goes into these people and what they do and just giving their heart, giving their time. I mean, when I was in, we were always volunteering to march in parades or collect food for the homeless or do fundraisers. I worked with a group that was called the FI. It was Drug Education for Youth, to where I had about six to eight young kids who were like preteens that I would meet up with a couple times a month and take them out bowling and really talk to them about, hey, what's going on in school? You know, are you getting bullied? Is anybody trying to pressure you into drugs? And even some of the tough things that are in today's society are tough to talk about, like, you know, sex, or, you know, is anybody really giving you any problems, or, you know, how are things at home, how are things at school? And, you know, you really got to dive into some tough situations, but as a leader and as a mentor of these young kids, you got to make sure that they're okay, mm-hmm. you know, and I'd say that's probably the toughest one, is trying to talk to a kid on those situations. But going back to the Warriors Code thing, that's what I want it to be. I want to carry over what I learned in the military and really apply it here at home. You know, whether, you know, every show that we're going to do, you know, we're going to do it as a fundraiser, raise money for, you know, this one we're going to raise money to donate to disabled American veterans. Some other shows that are coming up, you know, I'm looking to do things for, you know, local fire departments, police departments, schools, anything in that area, people, you know, as long as you and I have known each other, and some of the shows that we've done in the past, you know, we've done a lot of fundraisers to raise money for, you know, families who have come up on hard times or have had a tragedy happen in their family. And I want to continue that love and let people, you know, really see that that's what it's all about, you know, in a world that we live in today where people are so offended by so many things and there's really a lot of chaos going on in the world today. And I kind of want to do what my folks couldn't end of that. And, you know, just bring people together, man. You know, love one another. You know, we're all here on this earth together. Let's do what we can to help each other. And you know, that's a big part of life. That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all the negative things that are going on. And let's be positive. Let's be role models to our children.
That is a great mantra to have, and obviously, you talked about kids, so this is going to be, Warriors Code Wrestling is going to be a family-friendly environment here in Southern Illinois. So, folks, you mentioned Stephen Davis. I know he's going to be a part of this inaugural show. Who else do you have planned for Warriors Code Wrestling for this debut show?
Yes, sir. For this debut show, we got Stephen Davis, Brandon Walker, two great ring veterans that have been around 17 to 25 years. And, I'm really looking forward to having those guys there for that, to really be locker room leaders and to go out and do what they do best and entertain the crowd and entertain these families the way that we want to represent as a family-friendly show for Warriors to Wrestling. Some of the guys, we got a powerhouse, Bill Sawyer, Sam Knight, Big Frank Wyatt, as far as your athletic guys that are, if you want to call them the high flyers and that just really do some amazing things in the ring, you got A.T. Brooks, Joey O'Reilly, and then you have the returning Jay Spade, whom all have 10 years of being in AATW and going from there to IWA and IWAU and you know, those promotions. So those guys will be there. And really looking forward to seeing what they have to offer and give this crowd.
So, obviously, you know, you said this is the first event, but you really have some hopes that this is going to go on and continue on. So tell the fans, you know, why should they choose to come out to Warriors Code Wrestling on Saturday night, June 11th?
As far as why I think that you should come out on Saturday night, June 11th, the obvious first one that I talked about is, again, just to show support and love for one another in the community. This is going to go to benefit disabled American veterans, and it's a chance to really go out and kind of create some of those memories that, you know, most of us had as children, whenever you were with your dad or your grandmother or grandfather out to the wrestling matches when you were a kid. We're not looking to be the attitude error of a WWE with scantily clad women or people, you know, flipping other people out. You know, we don't want none of that stuff, you know. I mean, are you going to get heckled and ratted a little bit? Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what the bad guys do. That's all the fun of the show and the performance, but in the end, you know, it's all about having a good time. And, you know, we're going to be at Christopher First Baptist Church, who has really done a lot in handing us the ball and letting us take this show to where we want to take it to, and really trusting us to put on a performance that is going to do a great thing in the community. So, you know, if you really want to be able to do something that's fun, that's inexpensive, and is going to create a memory for you and your kids, by all means, please come out and be our guest Saturday, June 11th at Warriors Code Wrestling, and let us do that for you.
Yeah, $8, you know, get the family of four in for, you know, just over $30. It's a great deal. And bell time is 7 o'clock. The doors will open at 6, and I'll have all the directions and whatnot. If you are not from the Christopher area or from Southern Illinois, know exactly how to get to Christopher First Baptist Church, we'll have all that on the My123Cents Facebook page, as well as My123Cents.com. Shane, any closing words, any closing comments, thoughts that are on your mind, whether it's about Warriors Code or anything else in general with the world of professional wrestling?
Yes, sir. When you opened, you asked what my thoughts were about the Pac and El Generico match, and we kind of steered away.
Oh, yeah.
We have so much to cover. Going back to that, you know, I thought those guys were great. Pac, again, was another guy who I would say, just like meeting Tracy Smothers, I mean, he was incredibly respectful. You could tell he's a very well-traveled athlete. With his time in Japan, I mean, that's one of the first times I think that I ever went up and shook somebody's hand to greet them. And not only did they shake my hand, but grab the back of my elbow and bowed to me, mm-hmm. you know. And I was just like, man, you know, this is great. Anybody that knows me knows I am all about respect. Respect is the biggest thing that I'm supposed to be all about. And, you know, you show me that level of respect, no matter how big a superstar you are, you will always have mine in return. I didn't really get to talk to Generico too much. He was very quiet in the locker room, which is awkward because I listened to some of his interviews about how, you know, when he goes somewhere, whether he's a new guy or not, he definitely likes to stand out. But I don't know, maybe he just had a busy week and was tired. But what I did talk to him a little bit, very cool. Loved the match. I loved calling the match with you and Chris Haxton. You know, I didn't know anything about Pac leading up to that. Unfortunately, I think I saw his name on a flyer probably a week, you know, prior to the show, and I was like, man, who is this guy? And I looked some stuff up and I was like, oh, man, he's got some pretty crazy looking moves going on. And the fact that he would show the level of athleticism, take the risks that he did to, you know, how many people do we have there that night? Just over 400 people, you know, and now he's performing in front of thousands, you know, on a nightly basis, or was before he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just to see him do that stuff live, and same thing with Generico. I mean, Generico didn't pull any punches. You know, he was just as athletic, just as charismatic. The energy that was in the Black Diamond Warehouse that night, as those guys were performing, and the rest of the AAPW crew was just a great thing. You know, I couldn't ask for anything more, you know, and like you said, even though I couldn't be in the ring performing, you know, I was just as happy sitting ringside and calling the action with you guys, and another great accomplishment on a personal note for me. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. You know, maybe I cramped your style. Maybe I wasn't as up to par as you guys were, but I appreciate you guys having me there.
Oh, no. Not at all. I enjoyed the, you know, like I said, it was great that you were still a part of the product, and it made sense having you out there and being a part of the commentary team that night. So it was a lot of fun. It's one of my greatest memories, personally, and you know, as a wrestling fan, it ranks up there too. So it was an exciting night, and I wish for you the success that we saw with AAPW. I hope that Warriors Code Wrestling takes off and fans come out and support it and support our veterans, and thank you for the service that you have done for our country.
Thank you, Kevin. I greatly appreciate it, and you know, I couldn't be more proud of the things that I did get to be a part of in the military, and the things that I got to be a part of with you and Chris Hagstrom and Sean Chambers. You know, whenever he had things going as well, I mean, he's a big part of what's led us to where we are, and I feel like I haven't given him enough credit, you know, in talking on this podcast. A great guy, you know, his heart and soul is definitely in it. You know, and I appreciate everything he did coming up through it too. Closing comments, all of you coming out Saturday, June 11th, I guarantee you it's going to be a show that is going to be top notch, 5-star. Come out and see these guys again. Bill Silver, Stephen Davis, Julio Riley, Jay Spade, Sean Knight, Frank White, the icon, Chris Hardis. You know, some really talented athletic guys. I see a lot of big things coming their way, not just in Warriors Code Wrestling, but beyond that. And, you know, come out and be a part of that. You know, like we said earlier, we saw Pac and Jericho before they hit WWE TV. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, Kevin. I mean, it's just a great feeling to know that you actually see these guys rise from an independent level to the big time and where they want to be. You know, some of these guys may get there, some of them may not. But you know what? Every time they get in that ring, whether it's 20 people or 500 people or 5,000 people, they are giving it a 5-star performance every time. And I guarantee you, $8 a ticket, and it's going to be a contribution made to the state of American veterans. What more could you ask for?
Absolutely. That is the perfect way to summarize it all and wrap it up. And I appreciate your time again and your service to our country. Shane Rich again with Warriors Code Wrestling coming up Saturday night, June 11th at Christopher Baptist Church.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.